Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Ow. Welcome. Welcome to another episode of Finding Youth. Marvin Rohn and my co-host Stan Mack. And we have another wonderful episode scheduled for you today. So sit back, relax. Let Finding You team do what it does, and you do what you do. So, as always, we begin each episode and every episode with the Empowerment Pledge. And that pledge is, I will work on myself. That's it. It's as simple as that. I will work on myself. I will improve myself. I will develop my character. I will take on the parts of me that needs to be addressed, needs to be challenged, needs to be encouraged, needs to be motivated, needs to be empowered. I will work on myself to become the best person that I can be today and every day. And if you would just take those simple steps of beginning the process of working on yourself, your life, your family, your household, your community, and within yourself would truly change. And here we go. Without further delay, coming to you live, our champion and good friend, Stan Macklin. Stan, how are you?
Stan Macklin is doing wonderful, Brother Rohn. I tell you, I looked outside the window and I thought I was back in Illinois, snow country.
What?
Yes, it is out there. But you know, I'm used to that. I can deal with that. So it's just good to see that Virginia's got a taste of it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, we have so much to talk about, man. We had a whirlwind weekend up in Harrisonburg that we want to tell our listeners about, and it is what we would call theme as a roller coaster ride. So why don't you tell our listeners about that weekend and all the events that culminated up on and until Monday night?
Well, I tell you, it was a wonderful event. Got some feedback, Brother Rohn, coming your way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to invite our guest host, and I trust that she's on the line. Elaine Blakey, are you on the line? Elaine Blakey.
Unmuted. Yes, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. Hey,
oh, okay.
It's a joy to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I tell you, as you know, the feedback we get from this line, I don't know why. But on January 20th, in the city of Harrisonburg, something happened that had never been happened. And you happened to serve as the event coordinator of that event. And it was called the Martin Luther King Jr. Way, a Harrisonburg Street Renaming Celebration. And tell us something about that event.
Okay, as the event coordinator, I have to say it was the most enjoyable moment I can think of in my lifetime. This was just such a phenomenal day to be in Harrisonburg and see what took place. And being the coordinator, I have to go back to when we started, if you would like to hear that piece.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When we started off early back in the end of October, I think it may have been, and we decided to do this because we were dismissed as a task force, and we decided to make our new name the Coalition. And we had several committees were set up, I think maybe about 10 or more, and we had a chair of each committee, and each committee had an assignment. So that made the drawing together of everything quite easy and to happen in a good fashion because everybody did what they were supposed to do. As they say, everybody stayed in their own lane. So therefore, the job got done, and they did a fine job, and I'm really thrilled to have been the event coordinator for this. It was just wonderful. I cannot think of anything that truly I can say went wrong. I said the other day, if I could say one word that would describe this, I would say perfect. It was just a beautiful day. I mean, people from everywhere just came up, you know, to unite with us. And the main thing I think that I see from this piece of the coalition was the connecting of so many cultures, the joining together of people that I don't think we would work with otherwise, like the universities, James Madison University, EMU University, different community and civic organizations like the NAACP and other groups really joined in with us, and we were all on the same page. So that made it so wonderful.
Now, Elaine, you know that in some cities, this is still a challenge.
Oh, yes.
For instance, in North Carolina, a city called High Point.
Yes.
They're not willing to bend. This was a request made 20-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think cities are so resistant to change?
Are you directing that to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just think that there are some cities that cling on to what they've always had. Even in our case, we had the people who were clinging on to the name of Cantrell because this was so historic and precious to them, when in reality, once we did the research, we saw that it really wasn't what anybody thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you'll find certain races that will cling to just their history, whatever that may be, and it may not be anything that's absolutely what they think it is, but it's just because the parents, it is generational, and they're hanging on to this, and they just won't give, and there are some people because, depending on where they are, it could be a race of people that just will not accept anything at all being named after Dr. Martin Luther King.
Now, at your event that we conducted in collaboration with other institutions, you had tremendous institutional entities that came together.
Oh, yes.
Institutional power can be a challenge now, especially in the area of exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But how was that able to be pulled off like that?
I think just among ourselves, I think in Harrisonburg, because, well, I know that for sure JMU is very much into diversity. And I think EMU is...
Who's JMU?
James Madison University, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I think that Eastern Mennonite University... it's coming on, too, and they also want to embrace the community and the cultures that are here. So I think when you find people who are willing and want to really reach out and embrace the diversity of the city, we have, I think it's 40 or 42 different cultures here in a city of this size. That's phenomenal. So if everyone's willing to embrace that, I think it makes it easier for us to do this.
Hmm. Now, Marvin, you especially came for the festivities that was conducted in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your impression of some of the things that you encountered?
Oh, well, it was incredible. It was an incredible series of events.
Too much feedback, Mr. Roy.
Yeah, I'm catching it on your end as well. It's really kind of vibrating there, but I don't know what we can do about it.
Can you go back to what you... when you first started the program, the line.
Yeah, I don't know if we could do anything about it unless we, you know, kind of get off the line and start again. I'm not sure because you're vibrating from my end.
Oh, and I can hear you both fine.
Yeah, Elaine is coming in well.
Okay, well, let's go.
Okay, well, you know how it works here. Okay, so hopefully what I'll be able to talk about briefly is it still there?
No, it's fine now.
Okay, so Elaine is on hold right now, so we'll bring her back in when I finish, and I'll ask her a question from here. But first, what I want to do is congratulate both of you on a wonderful accomplishment and putting things together and organizing the people of your community. And that's what it's all about, is being able to galvanize people for a cause and getting to action, because we have to be able to get to a point where we're beginning to do things in our communities. And you talked about bringing together a community, and Elaine talked about those cultures that you all have to be able to work toward integrating into one cohesive unit, and that is really a wonderful thing that you've done. And I ask this question to both you and Elaine, and y'all can kind of chime in at the same time. The MLK Way Day festivities is the first step. So what do you both feel is the next step in fostering both equality and reconciliation in Harrisonburg, our state of Virginia, and then in the country?
Ladies
so you
first.
Take that one first.
Ladies first.
Okay.
I think that I can see a coalition growing because just since the event of Monday, I've had people calling me that they'd like to join the coalition and help to see a change in Harrisonburg. So that's exciting for me, and it's nice to know that people are see that we are doing something and we made a change and they want to be a part of the next change. And I can see there are many things that need to be changed here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We can address several issues that are, you know, on the plate, but we have not really reformed ourselves officially, which we will do on Monday or Tuesday of next week, because we were just a coalition assigned to do this specific duty that we did on Monday. So when we reorganize ourselves, then we will decide what's on the table. Will we have forums to embrace the city and have everyone to come to us, and we will meet someplace and really talk about what can we do to make the city better? This is known as the friendly city. We want to make it really be what they state it is, and not on paper, but for real, that we can embrace whomever comes into Harrisonburg, Virginia. We'll see that we are what we say we are.
Right.
And they're welcome here. They will be able to do anything here that they could do if they were in a city up north. Because you're south, it doesn't mean that we're still in a semi-segregated mode, because you can perceive that when you come to Harrisonburg. You can do what you want to here, but you are still, you kind of feel still kind of semi-racial here and there. Depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to remove that completely.
Wow. You know, that was a profound statement, Elaine. Wow. A lot of food for thought there. The next change, I think that one of the amazing things about the change that did take place is more than just the renaming of a street and being identified as Martin Luther King Jr. Way. But this city has stepped up to the plate. I think that exercises maturity because they're willing to make the next changes that Elaine talked about.
Okay.
And we're gonna push the envelope in that regard to see that from the standpoint that institutional racism is a reality; it's real, and the structures that exist not only in this city but throughout America, it does not reflect the diversity that we're fortunate to have here. In some cities, it's still white is right, but just because it's white does not mean that it is right. And I believe that we rob ourselves of the wonders of diversity when we exclude different ethnicities' participation in the structures. I so many times say professionally we're integrated, but socially in our professional and social circles is still segregated. It remains just as it always been, exclusively me and my friends and the way it is. And every now and then we see pockets of things come out, such as the story that's recently been told about the chief federal judge in Montana who was sending all them hate emails and finally got caught when he sent one to President Obama, how he hates blacks and Latinos and Indians, and just it's just sickening. Here he is, a chief federal judge, doing things like that. And how many people have gone up the river, down the river, incarcerated because of attitudes like that that exist in positions and places of power. So there's lots of work to be done, but I'm just, when she spoke about some of those realities, just because this is the South doesn't mean that those old Southern ways have to exist.
Right.
So that's my answer to your question.
Okay. Well, for me, it was a wonderful experience to see the coming together of a community. And when we went to the event at JMU, it was really good to see the multiculturalism there, the impact that you all made and pulling this thing together. And so you galvanized the community and you marched to open up Martin Luther King's way. and then the subject of the way was important too. So can you talk a little bit about what Martin Luther King Way means, Junior Way, means to you? And Elaine, you can chime in as well.
I can go if Stan isn't quite ready.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, the Martin Luther King Way, it's, as you said, it's more than a street renaming. I think as long as we see that street there, it will set a spark off. You know, this is what we should be doing in the city. Every time I ride that street frequently. So it's a reminder for even me, and I am a minority. But still, I need to know, as others need to know, the way of Martin Luther King. We need justice. We need equality. We need fairness. The list can go on and on, mm-hmm. the things he stood for and the things that we need here. All may not be fair, and all is not equal here. It can be presented to be fair, but still it's not equal. So those are the things we'd like to see eradicated.
Well, I think there's a little feedback on my end, but I think that it's just wonderful to be able to work alongside of a talented individual as well, capable and competent and assistant to pull all these different coalitions together to give a representation of a desire to have real change. And one of the coalition members who also spoke at the event, named Fred Gibson, I think he said it back. He said Martin's Way is the way of inclusion,
mm-hmm.
in which no one is left out or behind. And that says a lot, because as I talked about those circles and those professional settings, people are left out. They are left behind. And you have to have a heart of compassion to be willing to look beyond your own and include others. And so I think that way is a way of livelihood in terms of a lifestyle of striving to live differently. And so that's what I feel that I personally want to do in my life.
Great. Now, we went to JMU for the Martin Luther King Day event, and this was in the evening, and we want to recognize here now that you got an award. So you want to tell our listeners about the award that you got and all that you and Elaine and your coalition did to bring such a wonderful day to Harrisonburg.
Well, of course, I gave it back to the community. There's no way in the world I can personally take it as something I've done by myself. I mean, I try to work with people. I believe in empowerment, and by working together, we can get a lot of things done. But it was a award by the Alpha Phi Alpha Xi Delta chapter fraternity, and it's a shot of encouragement. And like I said, when you work with the caliber of people in an event such as Elaine Blakey, I don't know what to say. The world would be a better off world if it had more people in the world like her. She's sensitive, she's caring, she's insightful, she speaks her mind, and she says what she means and means what she says. And it's just a joy to know that these are the caliber of people that we have that's committed to making a change. So I share it together. And mm-hmm. we just want to keep on moving forward.
Okay, Elaine?
Proud that Stan received that award. It was absolutely deserved. This whole thing with the Martin Luther King street renaming, this was Stan's dream. He convinced me of his dream. So therefore, I think all of this should be really in his name, because he really did do this. He had this dream, and this was presented back several years, and nothing happened. But
mm-hmm.
Stan didn't give up. He just kept on moving and doing it quietly, and finally he went before City Council and presented it. And he convinced me that I always felt it was the right thing to do, but the street was the part that was concerning to me. But once we had selected a street, and I was really moved by Stan's. He's just so faithful to something he believed in. And he just brought me right along with him, because if I believe in something, I'll work very hard for it. And he had me convinced it was the right thing to do, and I believed in Stan. And to see his dream come to fruition
Wow.
has just been so wonderful. It really has. And I think he thinks he doesn't deserve the award. He thinks we do, but I think he does, because it was truly his dream. We were just a backup to Stan. That's all we were.
Wow.
But Stan had a dream similar to Dr. King's dream. So, Stan, tell us what motivated you to follow through on your dream and be consistent enough to galvanize your community into making a difference.
Well, as you know, that most of us were physical beings and we're also spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the navigator, that's the rudder in my life, my spirituality. And I do try my best on a daily basis to listen to God and get inspiration from Him. And when the monument in Washington, D.C. was erected, I felt so encouraged and motivated to bring something here that could represent this city in a way, and the diversity that exists. And there was nothing here in terms of African American other than something that was in segregation, which is major, which was Lucy F. Sims. But I just knew that this would be something that would bring unity and beginning of bringing about tearing some and dismantling some of those structures of exclusion. And step by step, it actually started back in 2011 with the thought. And so as Elaine so wondrously said, and I thank you, Elaine, I didn't give up. I didn't. As a matter of fact, I went through a whole year of sickness. And I didn't think I was going to make it through that. I like to say I died. And God told me that you can't come up here now. I got work for you to do.
That's right.
And I've been working ever since.
Okay, Stan, we have another caller on the line, so we're going to see if we can open this line up to the caller that just came in.
Sure. Go ahead, caller. You're welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, hello.
I just want to congratulate you, Dan, you and Melvin and Lena, for the great work y'all done. I really appreciate it, and I had a chance to come to the meeting on Martin Luther King Day, and it was just wonderful, and I just want to say that I really appreciate it. I saw all kind of people. I saw white people, color people, and just all kind of just made me feel so happy about it. And I just want to congratulate all of y'all.
Thank you.
And well, I listen to Finding You every week, and it really
yes.
blesses me, and I just want to say thank you.
Yes, I recognize your voice. You called in once before.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to let other people talk on the line, but I just want to thank you, and y'all just have a blessed day.
All right, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your call, ma'am. Yes, she calls you Matt, I think, called me Dan. But we know
yeah.
she got, appreciate her call.
So, Elaine. Do we have Elaine there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
What
do you feel is the next step? Now, we're all galvanized, motivated here. What would be the next step? And which direction would you go in terms of your organization, skills, and putting together activities to bring the community together? And Stan, you can follow through as well.
I think the first thing that will happen on Monday, I will be stepping down from my position. I was only the event coordinator for this particular event, but I'm still remaining a member of the coalition. I will never leave until they kick me out. But there is much to be done here. I think we would probably like to see some changes maybe in our city government and changes probably in the school systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just so many things. I can't think of any particular thing that outweighs the other right at this particular time. But I'm sure once we lay it out and we've had some meetings and we have a couple of forums to see what does the city as a whole truly want? what changes, not only us, what changes do everybody else want to see? It's not just about the coalition. This is about the city. The one thing that was Stan's dream, that has completed itself. Now we have to reach out farther beyond just this piece and go on to things that will enhance the city and truly make Harrisonburg what it really should be. I can perceive Harrisonburg down the road being a model city. That someone else will want to say, oh, let's be like Harrisonburg, Virginia. It used to be in 2013 or 14 such and such, but now in maybe 2016 or 2020, look what has happened. That's what I'd like to see for Harrisonburg. Down the road, someone would say, oh, I remember when it was this way, but look what happened. And it all started with the MLK changing in 2014.
Wow.
I echo that. I think that the coalition's work is in the building of making this one of the best cities in the United States of America. And there's some structural challenges we have before us, but together we can make a difference as co-laborers and partnership. Downtown, we need some more reflection of that diversity there, in the business community. So it's work to be done, and, of course, by working together, we can identify. But a conversation is, I think, first and foremost. I think we have to have a conversation. But we've been doing conversations for so long that we talk about it and we don't be about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully, but we got it, because we don't want to have superficial relationships in terms of what we're about. We want to really know where we stand. If you can't, this might shock you and Elaine, but I'll admit I'm a racist. I'm a racist because I was indoctrinated in racist structures. And I've learned, as we've been doing ever since slavery, how to survive. And so, I mean, I have the power to execute it, but I have the influence of that. And so I know how to penetrate these structures to dismantle some of those things that are mastering exclusion. And so I'm going to be committed to that.
All right. We're committed to being reformers.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? So, Elaine, you and Stan, I would like to offer Finding You as a platform for anytime you want to bring out an issue or you want to bring cause to anything. I would love to offer this show as a vehicle to bring about more information, reconciliation, integration, or whatever it is that we can do to help your city and any other city become the best city, to help this country become the best nation it can and should be.
Well, thank you, Brother Ron. That's a tremendous privilege.
Yes, thank you.
And Elaine, thank you for being on the program today.
You're more than welcome.
You're just a diamond in our midst.
It was my honor, truly. So you both have a good evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much, Elaine. We really appreciate you being here. We got about a minute left, minute and a half, bro. I want you to toot your horn for a minute, because we need to really hear from you now. You've done your work, and this is just one chapter closing. So to kind of bring that chapter to an end, I want you to end this show with your very own thoughts about your accomplishments, some of the struggles that you went through before. You know, I know about it, but all the things that you went through to get to this point, can you talk about it real briefly, and we'll end that show on that note.
Well, I just have to say, as I said at the event, to God be the glory for the great things he have done. He works through people. That may be offensive to somebody in our listening audience, but I hope not, because I don't have the power. I haven't met any man or woman to put something like the sun up in the sky, so I am a believer. But anyway, it's just good to know that down here on earth it can be a better place until our time comes, and that's what I'm about. And thanks for everything that together we accomplished to make a difference.
All right. There you have it. Advocates for Change, right here on Finding You with Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Tune in again next week at 3 p.m. for your favorite show. Call a friend and tell them what we're all about. We're on the move. We're making changes for America and cities and families and community one day at a time. Thank you, Stan, for all you've done. Continue to be blessed and bless others. Be good to someone. Love on as many people as you can. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.